We talk about retirement savings a lot on this show, a lot. One of the key assumptions at the foundation of that savings plan, though, it's spending, what you're going to spend in retirement. According to my next guest, this cash flow question is the most important question that people need to answer when planning for retirement. Steve Bridge is a certified financial planner with Money Coaches Canada. He joins us now from North Vancouver. Hello there.
Hello, Bruce. Nice to be chatting with you again.
Why do you believe that understanding that retirement cash flow, what you're going to spend in retirement, is so important?
Bruce, I think it's so important because if you don't know how much you want to spend in retirement, how do you know if you're on track? How can you accomplish something if you don't know what the end goal is? And I couldn't have put it better than George Foreman of boxing and grill fame, who said, "The question is not at what age I want to retire, it's at what income." And I could not put it any better way. The right question is, can I retire? That's easy. Sure, you can retire. Anybody can retire. It just might not be the retirement you want. The better question is, am I on track to retire and have the lifestyle I want and not run out of money?
Of course. And I'm still thinking about George Foreman. The question is not, what am I going to have for dinner? The question is, what am I going to grill? Yeah. Yeah.
That's totally. His other question.
That's his other question. I thought that was the question you were going to bring up. So this retirement savings, I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. It's about grilling. Now, when does this calculation need to occur? Because for a 26-year-old, I got to be honest with you, I am just happy that they have opened an RRSP and that they are contributing to
it.
Like that's, I got a low bar here.
I agree. That's a good bar.
Okay, good.
That's a good bar.
Good. I was going to hang up on you. When did those expectations change? I would have a very different expectation for certainly a 56-year-old person, but probably for a 46-year-old person too.
Mm-hmm. So once people get into their 40s and 50s, you kind of have a better picture of what your life is like, how you like, you know, how things are going to play out. You might, you know, you're married by then, you might have kids, or, you know, you own a house or don't own a house or whatever. At that point, you can get a pretty good idea of what's going to be different once you stop working than what's going on now. So for example, if you've got a mortgage, okay, you know when the mortgage is going to be paid off. If you got kids, when they'll be, you know, pushed out of the nest and you won't have to save for their education any longer. You might think, okay, I live in the city, we've got two cars now because we're commuting or whatever, we'll go down to one car. So I like the idea in the 40s, in your 40s and 50s of going through this exercise.
How do you do it? I mean, you obviously is what you do for a living. People retain you. You, I'm sure, do a good portion of the work. What does that work entail?
So there's an easy way to do this, Bruce, and a harder way to do it.
Oh, I want the hard way first.
You're going to get the hard way. No, you're going to get the hard way second, Bruce, because you will have heard of the easy way, and many of your listeners will have heard of the easy way as well, and that is the 70% rule.
Yes.
And the 70% rule says that you will spend 70% of what you were spending pre-retirement once you stop working. So whatever you're spending now, you spend 70% in retirement. That guideline might work for you, but maybe it won't. And it's much better to know ahead of time so you can prepare accordingly.
Yeah, so I reference that rule of thumb in my second book on retirement savings. And I know it is a controversial one, but I had to set the expectation floor somewhere. So tell me about the harder version.
The harder version gets you slightly better results because it's a very individual number and depends on your specific circumstances. I have had clients go through the exercise and literally need a third of what they were spending pre-retirement. And I've had other clients spending 125% in retirement. So more than they were actually spending pre-retirement. Wow.
What happens with those people? Do they have very high plastic surgery needs? Is that what that is?
Well, they might be just very good. They might be very good savers. They might have defined benefit pension plans. Maybe they're, you know, maybe they're living low now, you know, saving for the future so that they end up and then they want to increase their travel budget fivefold.
Wow. And is this a line by line exercise that people need to do? Is, are there it any is. Shortcuts?
It is. No. I'm a spreadsheet guy and I've got spreadsheets prepared and people can find these online, but really it's just thinking about, okay, what are my fixed costs? What are my fixed monthly costs? What are my fixed annual costs? What are my random clothes, gifts, travel. Clothes might go down. Travel might go up. Might go from two car to one car. So it is a line by line exercise, Bruce. And you can look at credit card statements and you can come back to it. It doesn't need to be done overnight, but it does need to be done.
For years, I resisted the tracking software, you know, the sites like Quicken and Mint where they scrape all your accounts. I now have it. It scrapes everything. I can't believe I waited this long because now I can feed that into my model with a very high level of confidence about, at the very least, what I'm spending now. And then I can just pull out what I know I'm not going to spend in the future. Exactly. Where are you at on working with clients who track and those who do not?
Yeah, I like the tracking. I like the tracking programs that you're talking about for looking backwards and seeing what you've spent. I don't love them for budgeting because they look backwards. Yeah. But for our purposes in this specific exercise, I think it's very good. If everything is amalgamated, if it's all in one place, great. Let's look at that, especially if you've got over a year or two, because there are things that come up not every year, like every few years, like a home renovation or a major car repair, things like that.
Do you find people lie to themselves? I mean, we lie to ourselves. I lie to myself about my consumption of treats, Oreo cookies in particular. I have a bag, a secret bag of Oreo cookies that my 11-year-old does not know about. I can inhale that in a couple of days. But if anyone were to ask me, did I have a treat today? I'd say, no, I am modeling great behavior with my child. Yeah,
yeah. You're so doing her a favor.
Good we job. Are totally doing her a favor. Where do people lie to themselves?
Good question.
I don't really order DoorDash that. Yeah, oh, geez, I guess I do.
Yeah. When I go through all the numbers with them at my second meeting with people, there are surprises around eating out, I think is a big one. Shopping, which is a very general category, I break it down into, okay, let's get very specific about what this shopping is. Another great benefit of this exercise, Bruce, is seeing if your money's going to what's most important to you now in the present.
How do you factor in the big ticket items as we age, such as long-term care or live-in care?
Yeah. So another, of course, all your questions are great, Bruce. That's a great question. As far as long-term care goes, so for expensive long-term care, what the end kind of answer is selling the home. If at some point being at home is no longer an option, that money can go towards long-term care.
Also, I see. So you're saying maybe you don't include it in your spending estimate because for those who own a home, they're going to liquidate that asset. The assumption is that there's going to be sufficient equity to discharge any debts and pay for long-term care.
That's right. And the other side of that, or other part of that, Bruce, is that lifestyle expenses, of course, go down. The clothes, travel, eating out, those will naturally go down for most of us at some point. And that money can be redirected to long-term care.
This is a fluid model. It needs to be a fluid model because, you know, your kids need money for a house. You end up buying a car 5 years earlier than you thought, all those kinds of things. How do you ensure that you revisit the assumptions over time?
I think, you know, even with my clients who have recently retired, I love doing this exercise because you get a more realistic picture of what lifestyle spending is. And you're 100% right. Maybe you travel more than you thought. Maybe you could get by on one car and you thought you couldn't. Maybe one of the kids needs financial support, which affects your modeling. There's a whole bunch of things. 100%, Bruce, revisit it every year or two and see how it's going.
Where and how much conservatism do you recommend people build in?
A fair bit. I'm a pretty conservative guy when it comes to
Oh my gosh, you would not imagine how I went with my financial advisor. I'm like, okay, so say I die at like 120. Am I good? Am I still good? Am I still good with 24-hour care for the last 20 years of my life?
That's a little over the top, Bruce.
That's a hair over the top, yes.
I do my projections to age 95, and I also do a projection to age 90, and I have a conversation with my clients about how they feel about that and if there's certain family health history or personal health history, we can adjust those numbers as as required.
So in life expectancy is typically where you do it?
Life expectancy, but also, you know, catching up on, yes, life expectancy is one side of it, and also the annual spending. And we have to be realistic of what resources we have to work with and what your investments are doing. An investment plan is part of this. And I do want to say, Bruce, that this, what we're talking about here, has to come before investing. Mm. You know, if you're just investing randomly and say, yeah, I'm investing and I've got these, that's great. But then you get to your desired retirement age, let's say it's age 60, and you stop and you go, well, did I do it? Did I make it? Did I win? Mm. Do I have enough money?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. We're just about out of time, but I do want to throw in the housing element again, because one of the surprising things for the exercise for many people is either, wow, I'm going to run out of cash, but be sitting on a couple million dollars in real estate in 30 years. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to have to sell that house in order to keep groceries in my fridge. How do you address that?
Well, it all comes down to choice, right? Like, we all have choices to make, and we can make hard choices now by saving more, or hard choices later by downsizing our home, perhaps, if we haven't saved enough money. I'm a big fan of owning a house, but you can't eat your house, right? So if you're not saving, if you're not preparing, yeah, a downsize might be in your future. And I think you come to terms with that, and that's okay, because you've got money in that house. Or you could, I'm not the biggest fan of reverse mortgages, but in some situations, you know, no kids, no heirs, no anything, not the worst thing in the world.
So you can't eat your house, but you can have chickens in North Vancouver, can't you? And yeah, a vegetable garden. So yes,
good point. Fair point.
Ta-da. Point to ta-da. Point to Steve, Bruce. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Bruce. Always a pleasure.
Steve Bridge is a certified financial planner with Money Coaches Canada. He was here to talk to us about how to figure out how much you are going to need to spend in retirement.